Here as well.
And I'd like to say good morning to everyone. It is so good to be here once again at the Sanford Church of Christ. I've had an opportunity to visit with you all on numerous occasions, and I must say that each occasion has been one that has been rememberable. And I really appreciate you all for what you're doing, what you have done, and the plans that you all have going in the future. It's very difficult for me to speak about myself. I just graduated from the Central Carolina School of Preaching June the 14th. I was there for 2 years. And prior to that, I have a bachelor's in business from North Carolina Central University in Durham, North Carolina. And I've had several experience in working in different areas, logistics, management, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, there's no job like working with the Lord's people. So it's an honor to be here with those who desire to one day reach heaven. That's the most important goal, because as you can look at our society today, people just don't care or seem to care about God like they used to. And thus we, the very few in number here, are striving to do better, and they want to reach heaven. And thus I'm honored to be among you to help you in that endeavor as you help me as well. You know, on my journey here this morning, I couldn't help but notice the number of people that I passed on my drive here, about 1 hour and 25 minutes. And if you notice, we're living in a time where people just don't find going to church interesting anymore. I passed some individuals that were just sitting outside. I passed a guy cutting grass Sunday morning. I passed individuals on the golf course. I passed individuals playing basketball. I passed folks at the car wash. So all of these things people are doing on Sunday morning, yet the very thing that we should be running to do is what we're doing here. And that is giving God. This is the least we can do, brethren. The least that we can do is come, make the sacrifice. Sometimes we don't feel well. There's some in here that may have aches and pains right now, but yet you're here. Yet you're here. Why are you here? Because you recognize that there is someone who deserves our attention. There's someone that deserves our energy. There's someone that deserves every ounce of fiber that we have left. Even if we have to crawl through the door, it's worth coming in. Why? Because there's a lot that takes place in the assembly that sometimes we don't recognize. Sometimes we don't think about. So briefly, we're going to talk about the purpose for assembling. I think this is something that we need to talk about more often in the Lord's church, because, well, as we said earlier, even some of our children that are brought up in the church, are starting to stray from the church when they leave home, when they go off to college, when they go to school. Church seems to be something that, well, it's interfering with what I want to do. I want to do something else. I had a busy day Saturday, and I don't feel like sitting for 2 or 3 hours in worship. And individuals are being pulled away from the church. And I personally believe it's because of a lack of understanding of what actually takes place here. There's more in here than what I see with my physical eye. There's more going on today, brethren, than what we can imagine. The fact that I get to see you all and talk to you is a blessing. I mean, there's someone who made plans on yesterday not knowing they would never see this day. They didn't even wake up this morning. Their life is gone, which means that however they left here, that's where they are. There's no coming back. There's no, I wish I would have. Why didn't I do this? But we have another opportunity to do what? To do better, to examine ourselves, to make our wrongs right. If I've offended someone, I have another opportunity to make that right. If I have not been giving like I should or attending like I should, I have another opportunity today to make it better. Thank God for his long suffering toward each and every one of us. I want everyone to turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Someone read verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25.
Let us consider one another in order to...
Now notice what the writer here is saying. Now we understand that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We understand that holy men of God spake as they were moved or guided by the Holy Spirit. So when we read the Bible, what we need to put in our minds, myself included, is that this is what God is saying to me. See, sometimes we want to point at the next person, but this is what God is saying to me. And God is telling me not forsaking, not to forsake. Now, this verse does not say not forsaking the assembly. It doesn't say that. It says not forsaking the assembling, which means every time that brethren seek to assemble, I need to be in the midst. Because sometimes we have the idea, well, as long as I make the AM service, and I think as of right now, you all only have the AM, which is fine. But to a congregation who has the AM and the PM, some people may think, well, as long as I make the AM service, I've assembled today, I've worshiped, and I'm not going back to the evening service. Well, that's the wrong attitude. Why? Because whenever the children of God assemble, if I'm a child of God and I'm seeking to please God, I need to make sure I'm with the children of God. Why? Because there's a benefit. There's something that I'm going to receive. There's something God expects me to give in the assembly. And we're going to look at that as we go through our lesson today. So the idea is we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, brethren, throughout the week, we spend a lot of time doing other things, working, secular jobs, at home, in the community, grocery shopping, and most of our time is spent among the world. Those that are not Christians, those who could care less about the Bible, those whose conversation is far from Scripture, those whose thoughts are nowhere near godly. Even television shows. Can't even watch a good football game without seeing a commercial about natural light, blood ice. You can't even watch a cartoon without seeing some form of nudity or some form of prostitution or pornography. So every day we're attacked mentally. Every day. How much more, brethren, should we desire? I'm talking about long for. I can't wait. Can't wait for what? To assemble with my brethren. Why? I miss you guys. I need the encouragement. I can't wait to see you. I need motivation. I need to be uplifted. Why? I've been torn down at work. My coworkers, they don't care about God. And thus, I'm carrying this cross all by myself at work. But guess what? You're not by yourself. Why? Because when we assemble, guess what your other brothers and sisters have been doing? The same thing. Oh, but what if I decide not to assemble? And what am I missing? See, Satan's job has been and still is. Y'all have heard the old saying, divide and conquer? That's how it works. If I can get you over here on an island by yourself to make you feel like you're all alone, then that's going to increase my chances of causing you to leave the church. Why? Because God does not want us to feel that we're all alone. That's the reason why he says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? You're not the only one bearing this type of burden. And thus the encouragement we need is not going to come from the world. It may not even come from mom and dad. It may not come from my brothers and sisters. It may not come from my best friend. But God designed it to come from those of like precious faith. Thank God for his wisdom. Thank God for his word. God knew what he was doing before we were thought of, brethren. And we must realize what he's doing as well. Question. We recognize God does not want us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Obviously, there's something very important about assembling together that sometimes we don't value. There's something that we're missing as human beings. There's something that we're forgetting to look at. We're missing the mark. We're not looking at this in the proper perspective, because if God says, I don't want you to miss, then maybe there's something that I need to see about this moment. Maybe there's something that God sees that I'm not looking at. And therefore, since I don't see it, guess what? I'm going to sleep in this morning. You know, I'm going to sleep in this morning. I'll make it next week. That's how we do sometimes. I'll make it next week. You know, today I'm just tired. I stayed out, watched a late movie last night. New Ninja Turtle movie just came out. I didn't get home till 1 o'clock in the morning. Whose fault was that? We know what time worship is. We know what time Bible study is. There's no excuse we can give God, people. As a matter of fact, a wise thing to do is to set our schedules Saturday evening in preparation for Sunday morning. That means I don't need to be out all night Saturday and think that I'm going to come to worship Sunday morning and have a clear mind. Why? Because last night I didn't get any rest. So during the sermon, I'm sleepy. Or during the singing, I'm tired. But what are we saying to God? What are we saying to God? Something else deserved the majority of my energy. And I'll just give you what's left over. That's how we treat God. Now, what if God did us like that, brethren? What if God said, you know what? I give you good health and you pay me no attention. So what I'm going to do, since you don't pay me any attention, I'm going to take all of your health tomorrow. What can we do about it? Nothing. There's not a doctor on this planet that can heal when God touches. But God doesn't do that. What if God says, you people are so evil, I'm going to snatch air out of the air. I'm going to just take oxygen away from society. Did you not know that not only every human, but every animal and every plant would immediately die? Everything in the water, in the air, immediately. Without oxygen, nothing lives, brethren. But guess what God does? Still have it. We're breathing today. We're alive today. We have food to eat. We have clothes to wear. We have a car to drive. And although gas is unreasonably expensive, we still can afford it. We still can afford it. I don't see anyone walking. I see folks at the gas station. We're still able to afford the gas. We still have jobs. God is good. God is good. We need to realize that when it comes to worship. John chapter 4. We're going to look at some things here. Let me ask this question as we're turning to John chapter 4. Just for you all to chime in a little bit here, I'd like to make it interactive. What do you think our purpose for assembling is? Anybody? Just any thoughts. Why do we assemble? Good. To encourage one another. To worship. That's the main one. He's 2 for 1. We're doing good. Study the Bible. Anyone else? Edification. Man, we're on the roll. You all are real good.
Prayer.
Good.
Singing.
Good.
Influence others.
Now, did you hear those list of things? To encourage others. Now, with just those things that we mentioned, which one of you, myself included, would not want to be in the midst of that? Who don't want to be? Anybody here don't want to be encouraged? Raise your hand. Anyone? Anyone who is not benefited by singing, raise your hand. What about being built up? What about worship? We all need it. We all need it. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter where you live, what you've done in your life, how many degrees you have, how good you are at what you do. We all need to be encouraged. We all need it. And God designed that we encourage one another. Look at the beauty of that. That means this brother right here, I cannot encourage him if I'm seeking fault in everything he do. I can't encourage him. I'm supposed to encourage him. But I cannot encourage him if I'm looking for something I don't like. Sister over here, how can I encourage her if I never speak to her? I'm always on this side. You can't do it. And she may have something that I need to hear to encourage me. But guess what? I'm not going to hear it. Why? Because I never take the time to go to that side of the room. Sometimes we do that in the church. Little cliques, groups, social gatherings. That ought not be in the church. Why? We are all brothers and sisters. Say it with me. We are all brothers and sisters. Watch this. Spiritually. What does that mean? We should be closer than our physical brothers and sisters. Yes. Look at that. We all have been buried in baptism. And we understand by Revelation 1:5 that Jesus Christ washed our sins away with his blood. That means that we all have touched the blood of Christ. How much more should we be focused on making sure that we encourage and love one another? 100%. All those comments you all said was perfect, but I think 2-for-1, that someone called, because he had two great comments. And my friend here, they both said something that reaches the top. Our number one reason for being here is not to be encouraged. Our number one reason for being here is not to receive something. And you hear folks all the time, especially in denominations, you know, I'm looking for a blessing. Well, have you counted the many you already have? And if you're misusing the blessings you have, what makes you think you're going to keep? And that's how people are. I'm looking for something. I come through the door looking for something. I want something. That sounds very self-centered, doesn't it? I come to the building looking for something for me. And they come in. They don't speak to anyone. They sit in their own little seat. They're just waiting for God to give them something. And once they supposedly get whatever they're supposed to get, they slide out the back. Don't speak to anybody. I got what I came for. Our number one reason for worshiping, brethren, John 4. Someone read 23.
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice what this verse is saying. Of course, this is Jesus talking here. This context is he's talking to the woman at Samaria. And notice what the woman said into Jesus in verse 20. The woman said, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. So here's a Samaritan. She says to Jesus, listen, my fathers, my ancestors, they worship over here. But you say, Jesus, that the place men ought to worship is Jerusalem. So we got two places of worship. Notice Jesus' response. Jesus said unto her, verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. And then he says to her, you don't know what you worshiping. That's a strong phrase. Now, people talk about, oh, you know, the Church of Christ, you know, some of the teaching that you all have. You know, you need to be a little bit more loving with what you say. You need to be concerned about folks' feelings. And I understand that. Because there are some things that could be over the edge. Of course, you don't want to go to someone who's in sin and say, hey, look, you're going to hell. I mean, that's true. But it's kind of hard to reach someone like that. So we do need to understand that at one time, we also were in sin. And how would we feel if someone came to us and said, hey, you're going to hell? Well, we probably thought that anyway, if we were honest. But the idea is, notice what Jesus said. You don't know what you're worshiping. Now, if he had not said that, she would have walked away thinking that she was right. This is a lesson for us, brethren, because sometimes we can be in the midst of someone in denominationalism and we search for opportunities to spread the gospel. And some people say, well, I don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. They will start. I've had it happen several times. Somebody will come up and say, hey, God is good. He is. You know, I tell you, the church I go to, man, we did this and that. Oh, okay. Well, where do you go? We already talking. Where do you go? Well, I go over here to Mount Nebo Baptist. Oh, okay, okay. You ever wonder where that came from? Their facial expression immediately changed. Why? They never thought about it. And they don't know where I'm going with the conversation. See, I know where I'm headed. There's only one church in the Bible. But they don't know that. They think that Mount Nebo Baptist is okay. Now, I could say, you know, the Baptist church is from the devil. They're going to run away. But instead, you ever thought about where that came from? No, I never gave it much thought. As a matter of fact, what's the difference between Mount Nebo Baptist and First Missionary? I don't know. Go look that up. Let's sit down and talk. If they're honest, they're going to go look it up. If they're not honest, well, it won't do them any good. But notice here, Jesus then goes on to say, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. What do you mean by true worshipers? Well, the phrase true worshipers implies that there was some false worship going on. Just like today, we're in Sanford. I don't know much about the city of Sanford, but Sanford's probably a little bit bigger than Maxton. And Maxton has about 40 churches in Maxton, small town. People have churches in their home, in their garage, all this stuff. Everyone's meeting up, all these different names and assemblies. Everyone's right, so they think. But it's the same for today. There are true worshipers today, and there are false worshipers today. Now, how do you tell the difference? Action. What are you doing? What scripture do you have for what you're doing? Well, we believe. No, not what you believe. What does the verse say? Well, we think. No, not what you think. What does the verse say? I feel like. Not what you feel. What does the verse say? You would be surprised, brethren, when you talk to people, how many times those three phrases come up. I think, I believe, I feel. And all we have to do is say, do you have a verse? No, but I feel. No. Give me a verse. Jesus goes on to say that the Father is seeking. Can you imagine? The creator of this universe is looking for something. What would he need to be looking for? He owns it all. Why is this written for us? God is looking for something. Looking for what? True worshipers. I'm seeking. I'm searching. I'm looking throughout the United States. Let's narrow it down. I'm looking in North Carolina. Let's come a little bit closer. I'm looking in the city of Sanford. And I'm looking for true worshipers. Can he find any in Sanford? I would have to believe that God's eyes are on us today. But we're going to look at some things to see just what we should be doing and find out if God's eyes are pleased with me individually or not. The beauty of Christianity, brothers and sisters, is that it's an individual thing. That means that if my fiance sins, her sin is not on my soul. That's hers. If she chooses to stop studying, she has to answer for that. If this brother right here refuses to come to worship, we can encourage him all day. But if he decides he's not coming back, that's his situation. Yes.
I hate to interrupt you.
Yeah.
I just got to ask. Mm-hmm. Americans at this time have a different type of worship versus the Jews that she's referring to. This mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. The Samaritans. Yes. In a sense, they did, the Samaritans, of course, were hated by the major sect of the Jews. They were considered dogs and so on and so forth. And what they did is kind of like people do today. Buddhism, Hinduism. These folks worship these idols or these statues. And to them, this is worship. But to those of us who understand the Bible and know that there's only one true God, then we look at a statue in a Chinese restaurant and we're like, that's what you're worshiping? I didn't know what that statue was the first time I went to a Chinese restaurant. I thought it was someone's uncle or something. Just a guy sitting up here like this stomach way out here. I thought that was a sign to me not to eat too much. I'm going to the buffet, you know. But I asked the lady. She said, "No, that's our God." I said, "Wow, really? He can't talk. He can't move. He sits in the same position all day. He doesn't respond. He's not alive. And that's no different than some of the folks in the Old Testament. Baal, statues, same thing." Yes.
What is the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you choose.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Nothing takes the place of God. God says, either I'm number one, or what we want him to say is he'll be number two. But God says, if I'm not number one, I'm not in the number. And I think sometimes we struggle with that. Well, God, you know, I'm going to fit you in down here. I'm still giving you time, God. I'm still coming to worship. I'm still giving you, well, I did spend most of your money, but I'm still giving you a little bit. No. God says, I need to be here. And I'm not going to accept here. And what we have to do is we have to adjust our schedules to put him there. Because life is busy. I mean, working 10 hours, 12 hour shifts, 8 hours. You still have to sleep, too. If you're like me and you love to eat, you still have to cook, unless you're going to go to McDonald's every day. So life gets busy. But notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus then says in verse 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him, notice that four-letter word after him. What is that? Boy, people don't like that word today. Must. You mean to tell me I have to do it? Yes. Is there another way? No. You mean this is the only? Yes. People don't like that. Why? Because people want to naturally do what they want to do. But Jesus is telling us here, they that worship God must. Must what? Worship him, spirit, truth. Very interesting. Spirit and truth. Now, we understand in the Lord's church that this spirit is not the Holy Spirit. Of course, we have denominational folks that's just blown all out of the whack on this word spirit. They say that this means Holy Spirit. And therefore, when you go, or if you've been in a denomination, you almost can't hear the sermon. You almost can't hear anything without people running and jumping over pews and doing the moonwalk and breakdancing and running to the back door and all this stuff. Well, that's not the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that is. But to them, they say it's worship. Notice that four-letter word again. Must. Jesus says they that worship God must. Now, remember the verse before that Jesus said the Father is seeking. He's looking for true worshipers. Now Jesus tells us what a true worshiper is. What is that? Someone who worships God in spirit and truth. Well, what does the word spirit mean? It comes from a Greek word, pneuma. And it means proper mindset, our disposition, our attitude. That changes everything, brethren. Do you realize what Christ is saying to us? Before we reach the building in the morning, we must have already started to work on this. That's our disposition. Here's our attitude right here. This is what triggers what we do right here. The way we think. So before I get here, I need to already have my mind conditioned, humble myself. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what song I want to hear. It's not about how many verses of the song he sings. It's not about if it's a song I like or not. It's not about who's in my seat. It's not about who's wearing my color. It's not about who's on this side. You see where our mind can get? There are folks who come in the assembly thinking that stuff every Sunday. And guess what? They're not worshiping. Why? They that worship him must. Must what? Worship him in spirit is the first thing Jesus said. Our mindset needs to be right first. And in the church, we don't have a problem with truth, at least sound congregations. We understand the five acts of worship. We understand in the New Testament is the law that we're under today. So we understand that we sing without the accompanying of mechanical instruments. We're not clapping. We're not in here to entertain. We understand that. You know what our problem is? That mindset. That mindset. Because although we can follow those five acts of worship, our mindset needs to be properly in tune during each act of worship. How do we know that? They that worship him must worship him with the proper mindset and according to truth. Anyone can name the five acts of worship? What are the five acts of worship? Singing, praying, Lord's Supper, giving, preaching. That's the five. Now, Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now let's go back to John 4:24. They that worship him must worship him with the proper mindset and in truth. Well, Jesus just said the word is the truth. So to worship him in truth means that we worship him according to what's written in the law that we're under. What law are we under? The New Testament. Now, notice something. Someone turn to 1 Corinthians 1:21. Someone turn to 1 Corinthians 1:21. Someone else turn to Acts 2:42. Whoever at 1 Corinthians 1:21, read that. Now listen to God's word. It pleased not man. You know, friends, and this might sound a little harsh, but I'm talking to myself too. God doesn't care whether we like what he does or not. God doesn't care whether his plan tickles our fancy or not. God's plan pleased God. And sometimes I don't like it. Well, it doesn't matter what you like. It doesn't matter what I like. God's plan pleased the only one that matters, him. And the Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, that does not mean that preaching. It does not mean that preaching is foolishness. However, what it implies is that many people look at preaching as foolishness. And God says it pleased me through preaching to save them that believe. So preaching is an act of worship. Now, Jesus said they that worship God, what's that four letter word? Must worship God in spirit, right mindset, and truth. Well, 1 Corinthians 1:21 is truth. That's the Bible verse, right? Is that what your Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:21? So that's New Testament, right? So that's truth. So spirit and truth. So that's the truth. So where should our mind be during preaching? You see how deep this thing is getting? Do you not know that whether it's myself or anyone else that stands up to preach, do you not know that we are not worshiping? Hear me carefully. We are not worshiping God if we are not paying attention to the lesson. How? Because Jesus said, they that worship him must worship him. Everything we do is to worship God. It must be with the proper mindset. What should my mindset be on? It should not be on, he's preaching too long, I'm ready to go home, what am I going to cook? Where am I going to eat? Oh, man, I don't know why she wore that. Why does he have that tie on with that coat? See, we think about all this stuff. We think about this stuff. And guess what? That's the devil's trick to get our mind away from worship. And the moment that the guy stands up here and he starts to preach, we need to fight. We need to strive. And it's a fight, brethren, even for myself included. We need to strive to stay in tune, to keep our minds focused. Anything can cause us to drift. A baby crying. See, some folks have gone so far as to have this little children's church thing. Brethren, when we look at the Bible, they all came together to worship. Babies cry. I don't know what world people live in. This is humanity. Children cry. And thus, a baby crying is natural. It's going to happen. However, the parent is going to do what they can to try to, and God, friends, God would understand that. We're talking about little stuff. As far as the preacher's preaching, and I'm over here passing little notes, I'm laughing, talking about something happened last night, checking my cell phone, seeing who just texted me. I'm ready to go home. He's still preaching. We're not worshiping. My mind needs to be focused on what? What is he saying? And let me verify it. Now, you may not be able to verify why he's preaching because, of course, the time constraints and stuff like that. But you know what's a huge thing that has helped me over the years? Take notes. That helps keep you in tune. After all, brethren, we are here, remember, number one, to worship God. Whoever has Acts 2:42, read that.
They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer.
And in prayers. Prayer is vital to the life of a Christian. That's the last bell? Okay. I'll finish this lesson during the AM service. Thank you all for your time.